إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers, I want to remind myself and you today about one of the most powerful emotions that all of us are subject to and victims of, and that is the emotion of hatred. Hatred is fire, and the result is always ash. There is no other result from hatred, just like there is no other result from fire, any fire. Whatever be the reason why that fire was lighted, the result is always ash. A fire may be lighted for a good reason, to cook food, or the fire may be lighted for a bad reason, to burn down somebody's house. The result is always ash. Just because you lighted the fire for a good reason does not mean at the end of your cooking you will have flowers instead of ash. You will still have ash, because it is the nature of fire to burn, and fire cannot do anything other than burning. And exactly the same thing with respect to hatred. And the reason I am giving the example of a good reason for lighting a fire and a bad reason for lighting a fire is because that is how we convince ourselves, and that is how we justify our own hatred. We say, I hate so and so because there is a good reason. We hate individuals. We hate entire groups of people. We hate entire races. We hate entire nations. We hate everybody. And the result is always ash. Because hatred is fire, and the result is always ash. The key thing to understand in this, and there is no example better than the example of the life of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the key thing to understand in this is that there will be a reason to hate. Let us not fool ourselves. I don't want to fool you by saying there is no reason to hate. There will be a reason to hate. People will do bad things. That is the nature of the human being. People will do things. But it is the nature of the leader to get above that and still not hate, even when there is a reason. And the reason to do that, why must you do that? What is wrong with succumbing to the cycle? So, I was beaten. Now when the stick is in my hand, I will beat. And I was beaten without reason. When I beat, I have a reason. So why must you change this? What is the point of changing it? The point of changing it is exactly the same point of why should you fight a forest fire? You didn't set it. It lighted, let it burn. The reason for fighting a forest fire is, if you don't fight the fire, it will burn everything, including your house. And that's exactly the reason why it is essential to get over this personal hatred and to break that cycle. And as I explained, the best example is the example of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we all know the incidents, the biggest, many of them, but the biggest and most significant of them was the incident of Fatah Makkah, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave an entire people. And he forgave an entire people, and because of his forgiveness, everyone else also forgave them. People whom they had enough and more reason to hate. People who they had far more reason to hate than we have reason to hate the ones we hate. I was in Mumbai, and we were having dinner with somebody, and a young man there. I won't mention the details of what he said, but talking about another group of Muslims and talking about one of their ulama, he said with great passion, he said, I will not even sit at the same table as so and so. So I asked him, did you ever meet this man? He said, no. He said, I don't even want to see his face. So I said, without even seeing his face, without ever having met the man. You have decided that you hate him and his entire group so much that you will not even sit at the same table with him. I said, forget him. I don't think he even knows that you exist. And even if you knew you existed, I don't think he would care about the fact that you exist. He said, think about yourself. Think about what you are doing to yourself. Firstly, you are maligning somebody and slandering somebody for no rhyme or reason. The man never did anything to you and you are shooting. So you are giving away whatever good deeds, wallah alam, what you have, but whatever you have, you are giving away to somebody who you hate. That's number one. So number two, this hatred that you have, which you are harboring, what is it doing to you inside? All your thoughts, all your feelings are against this person and against the group that he belongs to. And all Muslims, the one hating is a Muslim, the one who he is hating is also a Muslim. And my point is, where does it get you? Where does this get us? Apart from creating divisions, apart from creating, you know, sections and more sections. We have people here in this masjid, not in the masjid, because they never come into the masjid, but we have people here in our area who come, the salah is going on, you know, the time for jamaat, you invite him, he says, no, I will not pray here. Why? No, because I will pray in that masjid. I am so and so, I will pray only in my masjid. This is Islam? Is this Islam? We don't stop anybody. We do not stop anyone in this masjid. Shia, Sunni, Barelvi, Deobandi, Salafi, Tablighi, anyone. As long as a person wants to come and pray, this is not my grandfather's house, this is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody wants to come and pray, who am I to stop him? Who are you to stop him? Alhamdulillah, most welcome. Please come. Please pray. If you are Shia, you want to pray in your own way, most welcome. Please pray. We don't stop anybody. We have had many instances where there are Hindus who have come, who have attended Juma, not once, repeatedly. We invite them, we welcome them, we give them a chair to sit, they sit, they watch the whole salah, they listen to the khutbah. That is what a masjid is supposed to be. This is what the masjid of Rasulullah was. You don't allow bid'at to happen in the masjid. If somebody wants to come in the masjid and do something which is not from the sunnah, of course you will not allow that. But as far as salah is concerned, there is no bid'ah in salah. Salah is salah. Let somebody pray. Hatred is a fire. Please remember this. The only way to break that cycle is to learn to forgive. And the reason I gave the example of Rasulullah, apart from the fact that this is the example Allah gave us and therefore it is the best example, but the reason I gave the example also is because Rasulullah had a personal reason to hate. People did some things to him personally. People harmed him personally. They tortured him personally. They character assassinated him personally. They killed the people he loved. They killed his own family. Who was Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib? They killed his own family. Despite that, he forgave them. And if we seriously ask ourselves and say, what did the people you hate, what did they do to you personally? Absolutely nothing. We have Salafis who hate the Tablighis. We have Deobandis who hate Barelvis. You have Barelvis who call everybody else kafir. You ask the person, what did so-and-so actually do to you? Nothing. You have probably never even met somebody of significance in your life from that particular group. Yet you want to spend your whole life hating this person. What is this? This is Islam? Which Islam is this? This is definitely not the Islam that Muhammad or Rasulullah brought. That much I will tell you. This is some Islam that you have created and you have invented for yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Allah said, hold the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together, jamian, And do not make tafriqat, do not make divisions amongst yourselves. We make division on every single, you know, reason or no reason. And that's why I want to remind myself and you, we have to break out of this pattern. And the only way to break out of this pattern is to forgive, is to throw this hatred out. Even personal relationships. Biggest problem in this country, especially in our culture, not just this country, whole, you know, South Asian culture. Biggest issue is the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law problem. Have you ever found a mother-in-law who is male? Have you ever found a daughter-in-law who is male? Both women, and women causing the misery to other women. Have you ever found a mother-in-law who was never a daughter-in-law? The only way you can become a mother-in-law is by being a daughter-in-law, no? I mean, you can't be a mother-in-law unless you are married. So if you were married first, then you were a daughter-in-law once. So you can never be a mother-in-law without having gone through the daughter-in-law stage. But when you become the mother-in-law, what do? You give grief to the daughter-in-law. And so one day, one of my friends, his wife asked me, she was, you know, having all these mother-in-law problems. She said, well, what shall I do? I said, go and hug your mother-in-law and kiss her on both cheeks. She said, she'll die of shock. I said, well, you know, good for you. It'll solve your problem, right? I mean, what? You kiss your mother-in-law, she dropped dead. Alhamdulillah. So my job is, my problem is over. Or maybe it will turn her heart. Who knows? The issue is that a cycle of negativity, the only way to deal with it is to break it. And the only way to break it is to do the completely unexpected, totally the opposite of what you are normally expected to do. The cycle feeds on itself. It's like a snake eating its own tail. It goes round and round and round and round and round. So I do something, you do something, I do something, you do something, you have a justification, I have a justification. This goes round and round and round, and there is no end to that. The only way that you can get out of that is to break that cycle. And the way to break that cycle is to do the opposite of what normally anyone would do. To do something which is not normal, I'm talking about this in a positive sense, because nowadays we have all kinds of negative connotations to this. But I'm saying to do something which is not natural to you, this is called civilization. For example, when you were, 6 months old or 1 year old, you used to do things in your pants, which if you do today, at this age, the age of people who are sitting here, it would still be perfectly natural, but it would be highly uncivilized. Yes? But if a six-month-old child does that, then you don't blame the child. You say, "Are chota bacha, little child. This is natural." My point to you is that even if you do it, it is still natural. It is not unnatural. It is still natural. But to get over these natural tendencies is the meaning of maturity, is the meaning of growing up, is the meaning of civilization. So just because something is natural, it does not make it right. It does not make it appropriate. And that is what we have to understand, that this emotion of hatred, no matter who did what, if you want to change that situation, you have to make yourself break that cycle. Unless you break that cycle, remember, you're not harming anybody else, you're condemning yourself to remain in the fire. And as I said, the result of every fire is only ash. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do that which is pleasing to Him and save us from that which is not pleasing to Him, and to help us to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to benefit from it. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.